Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, good evening, family, and welcome to another edition of New Pollen. Tonight we were supposed to follow up on Romans 12 and 1 and pick up on the scriptures that we left off on, which was verse number 3. But something happened throughout the week that I thought might be interesting that we could share with one another. I was proposed a question, and it was, could God be a woman? And if I had any information or knowledge on such a subject matter. And I answered, yes, I do. And that's pretty high-level thinking, and that's also pretty high-level in ministry, because it has to do with not only the beginning in Genesis, but it also goes to the book of Revelations. Because we know the Bible was not really placed in a chronological order. Some of the things that happen in Genesis are followed through in other places of the scripture. So when you want to expound on it, you go to Revelations and you'll be able to see and to learn a little bit more. So it's actually Revelations 12 where it talks about the woman and the dragon. And it kind of picks up with why some people have the philosophy that God may be a woman. And what I'd like to share is just a little bit about what I have learned in reference to God possibly being a woman. Now, when the Word of God says in Genesis, when God created man, he says, let us make man in our image, in our likeness. God is a spirit. So they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So if he is talking, he is revealing something to the mind of a person, similar to when he spoke to Moses through the burning bush. He didn't physically talk through the burning bush to Moses, but he speaks to your mind. And that's how he communicates with us even now. So that's why we were on Romans 12 this week or in the last week or so, talking about renewing your mind. So when God said, let us make man in our own image, he was speaking of the spirit side, because God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. But also what he was thinking of is, how do I put spirit in a dwelling temple that's going to be on earth? Because I'm God, I'm holy, I'm in heaven. So I have to put this likeness or this image down on the earth. So in doing so, I have to create it in a way that would be able to adapt to that environment. Would I want it in the form of an animal? Well, animals don't have souls, and animals can't give praise. And God knows things from the beginning and also from the end. So he knew that there was a conflict going on in heaven during his creation and his talking about creating man, or his thought process of creating something other than the heavens where he and the angels most high dwelled and the elders. So he decided that I'm not going to create an image and make it of one of the animals that I already have, or one of the marine spirits, one of the marine images that I already have. I'm going to put it in an image that can dwell, that can walk and have dominance. In fact, I want to create something that is going to put a little more challenge to me. I'm going to create something that requires atoms, minerals, everything that is on the earth, copper, zinc, the stardust from the solar system. I'm going to add all of that into my creation. Not only that, I'm going to add cells, white blood cells, red blood cells, and I'm going to add chromosomes, and I'm going to put different kinds of chromosomes in there, an X and a Y. And I'm also going to be able to put something on earth that's going to be able to procreate. Now, man has two types of seeds. He has two types of chromosomes. He has an X and a Y. So if God created woman first, then there would be no one to pollinate the other chromosome. So in creating man, he drew woman out of the rib of the man. And he could have done the same thing for the woman, but it's a strength process. It's the way he built it. It's the muscle and the fiber and the tissue, the brain cells and things that he created when he made man, and he decided to sculpt that from the earth or from the dust of the ground. So then he breathed into it and gave it the breath of life. Now, if you're going to say, let's create it in our own image, then it would have been created not only spiritually in the image of a spirit that was breathed life into it, but it also would have been created in the image of the woman. So if you're going to create something in your own image, it's going to be something of your likeness or something that you can look at and relate to. Then it would have to be just what God spoke and just what God said. So if he created it in his likeness or in the likeness of them that were in the dwelling place of heaven, then it had to be in the image of a man. However, we cannot take away from the importance of the woman because she was very, very important. Now, I'm not going to share all I want to right now. I do it more before a live audience of my philosophy or just my study of God creating man and woman. But in the initial state, to answer the question, I don't believe that God created woman or God is a woman because God is a spirit and they that worship him must worship in spirit and truth. So the first creation, being in the image of God, was created as a male and then female. But again, we'll talk some more about that, and we'll connect that in with Revelations chapter 12, the plight of the woman and the beast. Now, we'll go into Romans chapter 12, and we'll pick up on verse 3. And it says, "For I say, though the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God think, but to think soberly, and have dealt with every man a measure of faith." Let me hit that again. "For I say, though through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according to as God, but to think soberly according to as God, have dealt to every man the measure of faith." Now, what that's saying is, don't be so high-minded when you are approaching your brothers and your sisters, thinking that you're better than them, when we're really all created in the image that God created us to be, and there is only one great one, and that is him. So we think soberly, which means having a balance, using your critical thinking, having a sound mind when you think, processing where you are and who you are. And if you think soberly about that process, you will not be able to put yourself above anyone else, no matter what your socioeconomical class is, no matter what your educational background is or where you live. Or some people tend to think that they don't sin, or if they didn't do anything in their eyesight as breaking the Ten Commandments that day, I didn't kill anybody, I didn't steal anything, I didn't lust after anybody, I didn't commit adultery, I didn't lie, I didn't murder, so I didn't break any of the Ten Commandments, so I didn't commit any sins, so I don't have any reason to repent today. Well, God says if you think like that, or you think that you have not sinned or you're not a sinner, then you lie, and the truth is not in you, because our thoughts are not his thoughts and our ways are not his ways. And as far off as the heavens are from the earth, that's as far off as his thoughts are from our thoughts and his ways from our ways. So when we think about it soberly, if we see someone and they may have graduated the same college we did, they may have graduated magna cum laude or better, they may have graduated and have an excellent six-figure job, they may drive a Mercedes, you may drive a Porsche. So you look at them and say, oh, well, even though we went to school together, I have a better house or I have a better car or my children are better, the clothes that I wear are better. That's thinking high-minded. Or I'm in church, I have an office, and because I'm a pastor's aide or I'm an associate pastor or an associate minister, then the things that I have and I do are much better than you. I don't have time to witness to you. I don't have time to belittle myself with you. Then that's not thinking soberly. Now, you have to understand a couple things when we talk about that. The Word of God says, how can two walk together except they agree? We're not talking about agreeing here. We're just talking about thinking and being able to dialogue with someone. Now, I do understand that there's a measure of faith and there's a measure of walking in a person's life, that when you're dealing with individuals who are like yourself, we're all sinners, we're all saved by grace, but have not confessed with their mouth or believed in their heart that Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead and that he can forgive us for all sins and that through him we have life and life eternally, they're not walking, thinking, or processing life in that magnitude. We may not want to spend a lot of time with them, but you're still cordial. You still speak. You still talk. You still have basic conversations together, because even the heathens believe, and even the Antichrist believe. They know there is a Christ. They just don't choose to worship him, which is fine, because we don't want to judge or prejudge anybody. We love everybody for where they are and who they are. Or as one philosopher says, you love the sinner but not the sin, because you can't judge where they are or judge what they've been through, why their mind or their processes are that way. What you need to do is continue to show love, continue to show patience and tolerance, and then hopefully you'll be able to coexist together and you'll be able to talk together and bond together and then share how you feel about life and how I feel about life, because we all have one common ground. We're either male or we're female. And those who may believe that there are a cross gender of both male and female or female and male, then you can talk and we can bond about those things as well. And you can share your philosophies and I can share mine. But until we come to the common knowledge that no one is better than the other, no one has the right to covet anything that you have or try to take what you have. And if they do, you pray for them and then you move forward. You cast them over to God because he'll be able to take care of that for you. But when you're walking and talking with each other, think soberly. Don't put yourself above them, but put them above you. Say they're better than you, whether they are or not. That's not an issue. What you're doing is you're humbling yourself, but not before them. Oh, God forbid, because people would take whole advantage of that. You're humbling yourself before God. You want God to be pleased with what you say and what you do and how you carry yourself. So, beloved, when we don't think of ourselves above the measure that God has given us, it allows us to show the love of God. Then 4 says, for as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, which means we all are human, but all of us have a different gift. We all have a different capacity in which we are called to do, and we all have a different mission that God has placed in our lives. And then 5 says, so we being many are one body in Christ, and everyone members of one another. So in 50 words or less, I can't think that I'm better than you, and you can't think that you're better than me. Even though we have different offices, even though we have different cars, different philosophies, different ways of approaching life, we're all one, and we're all in this world together. If a tragedy strikes like a flood or a fire or a tornado, when the property is destroyed, I'm standing out there looking at the rubble just like you are. So that has now reduced us to one common denominator, survival. We have to work together. We have to learn to embrace one another for our differences and embrace one another for our strengths and our weaknesses, because in each other we can grow stronger, or in each other we can grow weaker. Well, beloved, we explored 2 things today. We explored, could God be a woman? And we also explored a little bit of Revelations chapter 12. And we finished looking at some things in Romans chapter 12. We've now done verses 1 all the way through 5. So we'll pick up again later on next week. Thank you for your patience with me as we try and establish a good schedule and a good time that we can all come together to learn the body of Christ together. May the grace of God and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit rest, rule, and abide with you henceforth, now, and forevermore. In Jesus' name, until we meet again, love you. Bye-bye.